My guest today is the ultimate example of the culinary industry's dream come true. Hailing from humble beginnings in northern Italy, where he started learning to cook at the tender age of just 14, he took a leap of faith coming to London and ended up as executive chef at one of the best three Michelin-starred restaurants in the world. Welcome, Marco Zampese. How are you?
Thank you. Very good. Thank you. Very, very well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
So, Marco, we're going to start right from the beginning. I know since you were a child, you've been around fantastic produce. Your grandparents were farmers and your parents loved to cook. Could you paint a picture for us what it was like growing up in northern Italy?
Yeah, so basically I'm from not far from Venice. Ustrica is about 1 hour by car from Venice. And my grandparents used to be a kind of farmer. So they used to produce a lot of vegetable, fruit. Every year they used to produce a charcuterie and cheese as well, olive oil. So many things. So I was always been very attached to the product, the seasonality and so on. After my parents has nothing to do with our industry. So my mom is just a housewife and my father is a doctor. But, from still my grandparents, I've been always attached to this, to the garden, to the fruit, vegetable, all these kind of things. So from there, I think as well, I cultivated my passion for cooking, also to my mom, which always should be cooking for friends. My father as well, organizing a dinner for, 10, 20 friends and so on. So from there, I think I decided after to go to the culinary school and I spent
then that
5 years.
That was a very natural path for you to move.
Yeah. A lot of friends, because actually before to decide to which kind of school to go, I've been asking family, friends and everything. So a lot of chefs were saying to me no, don't do this job because it's very, very tough and everything. You're going to work always Saturday, Sunday, etc. But to be honest, after I didn't care because anyway, I was I really like food. I really also see my grandparents producing all this fantastic and tasting fruit and vegetable. So I didn't care. And after that, I chose to go to this culinary school.
Mm. And you were just 14, is that right? When you started culinary school?
Basically I started when I was 14. In the meantime, when I was going to school, every weekend I used to work in many different restaurants in Italy. So I used to work from the traditional restaurant, Italian countryside, to the small fine dining, to other catering event restaurant. So and many other different things. So I was quite busy actually.
Covering your education, I mean, your father was a doctor, so he encouraged you to continue with your academic studies. So you went on to science and culture.
After my culinary school, I couldn't wait to go to work in a serious restaurant, fine dining, which was my goal actually. But, my father, of course, a doctor, so he studied many years and he was 30 years old. So, Marco, no, don't stop here. You must keep studying. So I say, okay, let's try. So I went to the university, which is was still a kind of university, school, food and science for a culinary, on the culinary world, let's say. So it's more to become food and beverage manager.
Right.
And where I study more about economy, about history and culture, about food related. And I don't know, microbiology of related to food and many other subjects. So for me, it was very important also this university, which, for sure, I study a lot. And in the meantime, while I was studying as well, I've been keeping working. So, because, after university, you have a period where you have the exam and other period, where you have more spare time of where to work and do other things. So So I've been actually always studying and working at the same time until like when I was 23 years old. So, and for me, yeah, also university, I think like it was very important because I grow also my knowledge related like in, I don't know, like also business plan and, you know, also like how to open a business and also like all the other things like related to food. So yeah, I was very happy to do it. And then if I was going back, actually, I would do it again. So, yeah
absolutely. Well, you had a great work ethic, clearly. And and you also, I mean, you catered for very big global events quite early in your career. You started with the Winter Olympics in Vancouver and the World.
I started before that because when I was 18, very young, still going to school and everything. So I've been called from a restaurant in my village, and they asked me to go to cook for the pro cycling, like a national team, Italian national team for the like world championship.
Right.
So for the 3-4 years, like I've been like the chef for the Italian national team on the cycling world championship. So it was a very nice experience. It was very tough at the beginning because you know as well like when I was 18, you know, studying, not much experience, even if I was already working. But you know, like you arrive to cook for a pro cyclist. Very important people. Like, normally, like, I see them like in television and everything. Everyone with a different diet in the morning because they are, you know, athletes. So like, need to be careful to the diet. And you know, was very challenging in the beginning, but on the other side was very like was an amazing experience. It was I really enjoy it.
That and, is amazing. After,
yeah. So yeah, for the 3-4 years I did this like with this cycling world championship. Around Europe mainly. After I did a couple of events for the Winter Olympic Games, so I went to Vancouver in Canada in 2010, and after I did many other things. To be honest, also like a Venice Film Festival and other things. So yeah,
what kind of things were you making for these athletes?
But so basically, you know, I mean, it was very complicated because, you know, like each different athlete had a different diet. So I was basically every day meeting with a doctor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, okay, this athlete want like every morning, for example, I mean, stupid things, but, you know, like, okay, scrambled egg with 3 yolk and 4 egg whites. Another one only egg white, another one only egg yolk, and all these kind of things. And also, you know, also some athletes as well, they want like a fresh beetroot juice before each race, because beetroot juice like has high content of sugar and so on. So during the race they need the sugar and all these little things, which of course like for a chef, you know, like I was 18, so for me it's fine. It was like a different experience, like to learn also the things, nothing to do with the fine dining, what I'm doing now, but still, it was very interesting. That was very exciting as well.
Yeah, so, you're learning about really different dietaries for, you know, for different people. Yeah, and I guess you can, that's something that you can adapt in your career as well. And you know, we have in the UK so many dietary requests constantly.
Yeah, don't tell me, because nowadays between like a vegetarian, vegan, and all the allergies in the world, like, we used to, like, we're dealing with it, like, every day, I think. So, especially nowadays, it's crazy. I mean,
Let's talk about your time in the UK. So you came in 2012, you decided to come to the UK and work. What was it about the UK that really attracted you?
But to be honest, you know, like, I was seeing at the beginning, like, I mean, coming from a little village, countryside, so I see like London as a big city, for sure, like with a lot of opportunities. First, like I want to learn the language. Second, of course, I want to go to learn some of the best restaurants in London. And after, you know, I saw like London, the beginning, as the first step of like my culinary career. So I wanted to spend like 1 year in London. And after from London, I wanted to move to Australia. And so on. But at the end, I end up to stay in London for at the moment, I'm 10 years and live in London. So long time. Because after, you know, like I found my girlfriend, first girlfriend, and after, you know, like job wise, I was always super happy. And then I changed restaurant, I got like promotion, and then I worked with amazing chefs. So I was super happy. So I say, every time I say, okay, why I should leave, you know? So,
why should you leave if you're happy? Yeah.
Yeah, so exactly.
You started at Wild Honey with Anthony Dimitri.
Yeah, correct.
That was a Michelin starred kitchen. So talk to us about that journey. You were there for 2.5 years, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah. So yeah, but at the beginning, so when I was in Italy, I got like this phone call from a friend that said, okay, Marco, there is a restaurant with one Michelin star in London, which they're looking for a chef. So, okay, I Google it. Okay, one Michelin star, Anthony Dimitri, famous chef in UK and so on. So, okay, wow. I thought about it like 2 days and then I booked like my flight ticket. So I arrived in London. I was able to say yes and no in English. So, okay. So I was a bit scared at the beginning because, you know, like I didn't have a house. I didn't have any friend in London. And basically, I just packed my luggage and then arrived in London. So 2 days after I was in London, I started work with Anthony in Wild Honey. And I tell you, like the first 3 weeks was, I think, one of the most, I would say, like a tough and horrible moment of my life because I was super stressed. I couldn't understand like...
the language.
I wasn't understand. Yeah, exactly. So everyone was kind of, you know, joking about me or something. And so like the first 3 weeks was very, very tough. After the third week, so I stop. I say, okay, I'm going to talk to the chef now because I say, okay, if we keep going like this, I'm going to leave. I go back to Italy tomorrow. So after that, actually, so the chefs took care of me, like, okay, teach me properly all the things and so on. And it happened that after like a 6-7 months, I was actually the sous chef of this restaurant. And all the other people in the kitchen, they were actually under my management kind of, so...
So how did you manage with your leadership when, you know, the communication barrier was so prevalent?
I was working, I'm not going to mention, but many hours per day. And I was working many days in a row, sometimes I would not rest at all. I really like push as much as I could because whenever, you know, like especially, I mean, I have a mentality that, you know, I want to achieve something and then I'm going to push as much as I can. Because, you know, also for me, like going back to Italy or something, for me was like, no, I mean, it cannot happen. I want to achieve what I wanted. And then for me, like the best, I want to try to get the best. I want to like learn as much as possible. I want to, you know, like, okay, become a chef one day and so on. So like I stay there. I learn every time, every night I was arrived at home, like, you know, midnight, even like 1 in the morning. I would spend like 1 hour to write down like all my recipe, what I learned the day, learning English at the same time. Every time I'm listening like some English lesson, like the tube, all these kind of things. So, you know, like I think I learned like how to communicate also like the language, of course, like very quickly. I would say like in, you know, in a few months. And after that, of course, Anthony, which was an amazing mentor, for sure, like it was pushing us harder. But I wish that all the younger generation nowadays would have a mentor like this, because unfortunately, I think like nowadays, you know, like especially now 2022, after COVID, after Brexit, and you know, like with many businesses opening, and so on, like the younger generation, I think like has a kind of easier life nowadays, if I can say that. So I wish that everyone like could go through like this kind of mentorship, like with like Anthony, where like you know they push you, you learn, etc. And one day I think you can become someone, because you know, nowadays everyone like, okay, every time I have interview, if I have somebody asking me, okay, what's the salary and how many hours I work per day? Okay, this is the first 2 questions that I should never ask like to find any restaurant, because you know, like for me, like in my kitchen, I want to have people like.
Passionate,
of course, like I want to have, and fortunately I have people which are passionate about job, of course. You know, at the end you need to bring home like a little bit of salary, because you know, no one lives for free, unfortunately. But you know, but you know, I want to have like people passionate in my kitchen, you know, asking questions, learning, and sometimes, you know, like maybe also or teaching me something, why not. I mean, I'm very like an open mind chef, like I'm not the kind of chef to say, okay, this is the recipe, you follow this recipe because it's written like this, you know, that. No, doesn't work like this, because everyone, I think, is coming from a different culture. Everyone is coming from a different nationality. Everyone's coming from a different kitchen. So I think, like, you know, the best way to achieve something and to grow up as a team, as a restaurant, everything, is be able to listen to everyone first. And after, of course, it's going to be myself, Elena Rose, or someone else, like, at the same time, yes, we do this. I'm agree. This is better than what I was doing, etc. You know, I think this way, like, be open, listen to everyone is the way, like, to get better and better, and, you know, keep, like, this kind of progression and change as well, because as well, for our in our world, I think is the culinary world is changing so fast that, you know, maybe, like, one technique, like, is very good, is nice, is new, like, 2022, but 2023 is already old, so you need to change again. So I think it's very important to be open, and yeah. So again, going back to Wild Honey, for sure, like, it was a great experience for me, and then I really, like, wish, like, to all the young generation, like, to have an experience like this. And yeah, so again, I say thanks to Anthony, because it was a very great mentor. So, yeah.
Yes, it's got a lot to do with your mentor, but you had a great work ethic to start with. I mean, clearly, as a child, you're working weekends and you're working during the week. So that's something that you started in you from a very, very young age. So what do you think was it that made you have that sort of ambition and drive when you were very young? Was it seeing your parents being working professionals, like your father was a doctor, or do you think it was maybe grandparents, because farming is very, very tough labor? Well,
for sure, you know, like, it's a family mentality and culture thing. Yeah. Because, you know, like, of course, like, yeah, my grandparents, you know, like, 80, 90 years ago, like, in Italy, still, like, a wartime and everything. So, you know, everyone was working hard to make sure, like, to bring home the food for the family and so on. So, you know, like, since, like, also, like, a young age, and not only, like, my grandparents was working hard. So consequences, of course, like, my parents had, like, the same mentality. To achieve something important, especially, you need to work hard. So, you know, especially, you know, you cannot, on my case, you know, 18 years old or whatever young age, you cannot be scared. Okay, I need to work hard to achieve something. So for sure, like, I never thought about a comfortable life. And for sure, like, if I was thinking about comfortable life, I would never, like, be working at a Michelin star restaurant today. So
tell me, why was Michelin so important to you at the time when you started?
Because, you know, like, so again, in Italy, like, coming from a small village, you know, like, there are not many Michelin star restaurants around, like, my area, and whoever had, like, this Michelin star restaurant was being seen like, okay, this is the best restaurant, like, in my region, like, in Veneto region, or the thing. So, okay, I want to work in the best restaurant. So after, of course, I moved to London and I started from a Michelin star restaurant and so on. And then I just want to go for the best and learn from the best and so on. So, yeah.
And so you moved to Helen de Rose at the Connaught in 2014, and you're working under Alex Dilling, at the time, a 2 Michelin star restaurant. So talk to us about, you know, the point where you decided you wanted to move on to a 2-star restaurant. Anthony, I know, helped you with that transition as well. Talk to us. Yeah. Yeah, so talk to us about that time where you felt
To be honest, you know, like, after 3 and a half, like, with Anthony, okay, at one point I sat down with him and I said, okay, Anthony, okay, just to be, you know, clear with you, like, okay, what's your suggestion, like, for my future and everything? And as well, like, for sure, like, on my side, I wanted, like, to go to work in a 2 or 3 Michelin star restaurant. After that, I think it was the right step to do. And he strongly, like, suggested me, like, to go to Helen de Rose, because it was he told me, like, it was one of the best restaurants at the moment and so on. And so at that time, I contacted through Anthony, like, Alex Dilling, which actually started, like, a few months before me in this restaurant. So it was as well, like, a new in this restaurant, like, kind of in 2014. Okay. I think Alex started here, like, probably the year before, like, end of 2013. And voila, so after I moved here, and then, you know, since like the first day, I love like also here, like the cuisine. But, you know, from sous chef, while dining, I decided to do like a step back. So I came here in Lenderos as a chef de partie. And I spent here like a few months, I think it was like a 6 or 7 months, like a chef de partie. And after that, Alex again promoted me like to sous chef. And then after I kept like going up. So I spent like almost, 5 years with Alex. And of course, like Alex was a great mentor. And also, of course, like all of us, like under the guidance of Hélène, because, you know, of course, Hélène de Rose de Connaught is the name of Hélène. Hélène is the main chef. And we are always like guided by Hélène. You know, we always for like her suggestion. Every time we launch a dish on the menu or every time we do tasting, of course, we discuss always with Hélène. She's always very much involved because, you know, I mean, talking about Hélène again, like, you know, she's a... I really admire her because she has a restaurant in London, 2 restaurants in Paris. We have another restaurant in south of France and so on.
Yes.
So she's a very, very business, a busy woman. And I really admire her because I don't know how she does, actually.
Well, we're going to talk about that a little later because you do help her with the other restaurants and you travel as well. Could you just talk to us about the differences? What it's like working between a 1-star Michelin restaurant and a 2-star?
But after, you know, to be honest, it was between like wild dining and here was quite different kind of restaurant because like at the Connaught where is a restaurant inside a hotel. Of course, you have being inside a hotel, you have more benefits. For example, you know, like you have the staff canteen where you're like your lunch break and many other things. I don't say you work like less hour because it's still like the amount of daily hour that is very similar.
How many hours do you work?
Nowadays?
Yeah.
So 60 in the moment. Okay. About 16 hours. Yeah. Okay. Before was more even. But No. I mean, we still like...
More than 16 hours a day, that's tough.
Yeah. It is tough, yeah. But it's okay. We're still young, so we can manage. It's good. And I mean, the difference after, you know, like... I think the level of pressure is not much different actually. So Michelin star, you know, okay, the goal for a chef, the goal of a restaurant is to have the guest coming in, have a great experience, remember about the restaurant when they go out as well. So, you know, like the goal is the same, like 1 Michelin star, 2 Michelin star, 3 Michelin star. For sure, after you need to take in consideration that the guest has a little bit like a different expectation. Going to from a 1 Michelin star to 3 Michelin star or 2 Michelin star, for example. So of course, like the pressure for us is a bit more. You need to be much more careful to details in terms of cooking, presentation, timing, and also service wise, and many other things. So like the level of pressure is slightly different for sure.
Yeah. So 4 years on, and you became the head chef at Hélène de Rose in 2018. Is that right?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
So how did you feel about that? And I guess, you know, just moving up the ranks and the responsibility is so much more.
Well, you know, after, to be honest, I spent like a few years as a sous chef. And thanks to Alex and Hélène, which of course, like they drive me like to become what I am today. I felt like I was ready. So, you know, like the first time we talk about it, okay, Marco, you're gonna be happy to take the position, so on. I say, of course, why not? I mean, I didn't even think about, I wasn't even worried about it. You know, like I didn't think, okay, maybe I cannot do it, etc. Like, no, I mean, was not like my mind. I was feeling ready. I mean, it's not.
And so, which year did you become executive chef?
Actually, last year.
That was just last year. What was the difference between that? Was it, I mean, are you cooking much less? Is it just, you know, just managing everybody else in the kitchen?
Well, no, for sure. The management in the kitchen, is much more like, you know, also the time I spend in the office is much more compared to before, all the paperwork and so on. Like, it's much more. But after, you know, because, at the moment, I as well like help Hélène a little bit like on the restaurant in Paris, plus the new restaurant we opened last year in south of France, Ville Lacoste, close to Aix-en-Provence. And so helping also the other restaurant, of course, like I spend more time in the office, but I would say like I still like involved like 75-80% here in London. And yeah. I try to spend as much as I can, like at the time in the kitchen with my guys, especially, like, you know, like regarding like a new creation, new dishes, tasting and so on. And after, of course, like I do like everyday service in the restaurant still. Of course, maybe I do a little bit less like a mise en place. I'm not helping like that much like my guys on the daily mise en place. But after, when it's about like a creation, tasting, service wise, I'm always here. So yeah.
And I mean, so it's interesting because you earlier on you said that you know you really wanted to travel when you started your career. You actually wanted to travel all over. So you're actually getting that opportunity now to work with Helen in the other restaurants.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. So yeah, every month actually I'm going to France. Every month and a half as well, like to Villa Lacoste. So yeah, I'm actually very lucky. It's not an easy life because, you know, like I still keep traveling, working with different restaurants, different team and so on. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. And also like I make sure like everything is as much perfect as possible, like in every single restaurant. It's not easy. But all these I can say that is possible only if you have good teams. Because like here in London, I'm very lucky. I have three amazing sous chefs. In Paris as well, like we have an amazing head chef, plus of course all the team and front of house, and in Villa Lacoste as well, another amazing head chef and sous chef. So yeah, if you have like a strong team in every single restaurant, after of course like is more easy also for me, and then you know like
So you had 3 months working in San Sebastian's, one of my favorite cities in the world. I absolutely love it. For a culinary destination, it's unbelievable. You were at the Hotel Maria Cristina. We were actually staying in the hotel at the time you were there, and I only discovered that when I was doing my research. August 2017.
It was an amazing experience for me, like because we had this opportunity with the land, like to do a kind of pop-up for was actually 4 months actually. And at the time I had a Spanish girlfriend, so again I could go, okay, let's go to Spain. And so for me it was for sure like an amazing, you know, like opportunity. And I was there, I spent like all this time you know like in this restaurant as a head chef. And for me, it was an amazing city because, you know, like the vibe, the city, like the product, like the food is a small city, but it's, you know, beside the sea. And on the back, you have also a mountain. So you could get like amazing, like a mushroom at the same time, an amazing fish. And as well, like in the morning, sometime before to go to work, I was going to a market to buy like the product to cook for our guests at the lunchtime. So this one, you know, like in London is almost impossible to do that. So for me, it was an amazing experience.
And
so
have you
like a nice weather and so on. So.
And have you brought any of the San Sebastian influence back to London?
I mean, San Sebastian, you know, after Hélène de Rose, she's like from the Basque country, but from the French side. So like the food is very similar. So of course, we have some kind of Spanish, Southern French influence in our cuisine, that's for sure.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I'm sure there's many young ladies out there that want to know, did you stay with the same girlfriend? Did she come back with you to the UK?
No, actually, I have a new girlfriend now.
Oh, you have a new girlfriend now?
yeah. It's still Spanish, though. So, yeah.
Oh, sorry, ladies.
yeah, no, still Spanish.
Okay.
No, I have an amazing girlfriend,
In 2021, Hélène de Rose at the Cornell was awarded 3 Michelin stars. Tell us about the moment that you found out.
Every time I think about it, it's very emotional for me. Because, you know, like, so basically on the Sunday before we got like 3 Michelin stars here, in Paris, they got 2 Michelin stars in the restaurant Marsan. At the time it was 1 Michelin star, so they got 2 Michelin star. Basically, the following Friday, Hélène got a phone call from Mr. Gwendal Poulenec, which is like the international director of the Michelin. And he just told Hélène, okay, Hélène, are you going to be in London like on next Monday? And Hélène said, no. Okay, can you make sure Marco is going to be like in the restaurant on Monday? Okay, you know, like we're thinking to do like the classic little video, like to of the introduction of the Michelin, where the chef talk a little bit and everything. But I tell you, like from this Friday until the Monday, I didn't like close my eyes. I couldn't sleep at all because, you know, of course, it's not very normal that the international director of the Michelin like call, making sure that Marco is in the restaurant and everything. So it was a okay, I couldn't sleep at all. You know, maybe it was nothing, maybe it was something. So this guy, I was in this kind of position. So I was keeping thinking. And it happened that in the morning of this Monday, the 25th of January, 2021, I came in the restaurant and I received like on my phone, like a video call. And it was with Mr. Gwenda Pulenek, where he started to ask me some question. Okay, I was like... our London team got like the second mission star in the restaurant of Paris. Everyone was excited. It was asking me some random general question, which I was answering like pretty well and so on. At the one point, he said to me, "Okay, Marco, thank you very much. Okay, now I need to give like the phone to somebody else." So he passed like his phone to Hélène. Hélène had like the jacket with three mission star on. So yeah. At that moment, you know, like we just like, explode. And I was myself, also Mirko, like the restaurant manager. And for us, was a moment that for sure, like we cannot forget. Yeah. So, and as for us, for the whole team and so on. And that, of course, like we didn't say nothing to the team because we're also not allowed to say anything. And in the night, we went to see like to Mirko's house, the restaurant manager house, like with some friends, like the celebration of the Michelin. We knew, but the team didn't know. So, you know, once they say, okay, Lander was the conduct and everything, we like just explode, you know, like we open a bottle of champagne and we party a little bit, but it was amazing. Like, for sure, like we cannot forget, but you know, after, you know, for us, we get like this, we got this third mission star as something that need to give us motivation, like a daily motivation, just to like keep working, keep like, do like things better, like keep improving every day, every week, every month, every year. So like it's something like that we need to keep in our mind. It's something, of course, it's a bigger responsibility because yes. You know, like of course, like the name of the land, the name of the restaurant, the Connaught Hotel, it's an amazing hotel. Like okay, this is third mission star is a responsibility, and we need to remember, of course, it's something that we achieve because we've been doing well. But it's something that we want to keep, and I want to do better. I want to even like you know push to do better, and you know also different things. As I said before, like you know stay up to date with the culinary world, like you know because like our world is changing very fast, changing very quickly. So.
And how do you do that? How do you you know make sure that you kind of move with the culinary world? How do you keep yourself up to date?
But first, for sure, like, you know, we need to keep, like, talking to... So for us, like, one of the most important things is, like, the product in our style of cuisine. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we need to stay updated with our supplier, to talk to our supplier, check the quality and so on, as well, talk to our friends, our colleagues around the world, in the country, in London, in France, everywhere. So of course, like you know, compare each other. You know, like see like, a new technique. Check whatever like we can improve, ask question, and like keep learning. So like you know, like for sure, like stay open, be open mind. Do not be stick to the recipe that we used to do like 20 years ago, and think about okay, can we review this? Can we do this better and so on? So I think is in general is just to keep ourselves like a question. Okay. I say also to my guys in the kitchen every day, every single thing you do, you need to ask yourself, why I'm doing this? And to everything, there is an answer. So, okay, there is a way to do it better. Yes, no. So if there is a way to do better, okay, yes, we try to change and we check if it's better. And if it's better, okay, we change. And that's it. So these are things that is the way like to stay up to date. But as well, like with this, after it's not only about food, it's also about like a service, you know, like, okay, until... 5-10 years ago, everyone focused on tablecloth on the table. Nowadays, you know, like I would say not 50%, a bit less probably, but 50% of the restaurant, fine dining restaurant, Michelin star restaurant, they remove the tablecloth. So and the many other things, you know what I mean? So it's we need to stay updated with everything. Keep like comparing each other, and you know, of course, sometimes invent, you know, like invent something new, which is always positive, which is a risk as well, because you could have also bad feedback if you do something new, a bit strange, out of normal. But
trial and error, right? I mean, you have to sometimes take risks and...
Yeah, exactly. But if you don't risk, you know, like you always stay there. So
yeah, absolutely. And what are your aspirations, like personally, your own aspirations for the future? Do you plan on staying where you are, or do you think maybe you open your own restaurant?
But to be honest, you know, like at the moment is more than 8 years I'm working here at the Connaught with the land.
Yeah,
I'm super happy. I'm very happy at the moment. So at the moment, I don't have any reason why to think about like you know, a future somewhere else. Because also we, you know, with the land, like we have always like new challenges, new opportunities. As I told you before, like at the moment, I'm supervising as well like the two restaurants in France. And so on. So at the moment, to be honest, I'm very happy where I am at the moment. I have an amazing team here. I'm very happy at the Connaught. I like London. So yeah, to be honest, at the moment, I don't know. I'm very happy. Yeah, so.
Wow. So you never plan on going back home then? I think London is, it sounds like London.
To be honest, you know, like I had also like, a good opportunity like to go back home and everything, but no. I'm very happy at the moment. So after, you never know, one day, you know, for sure. You never know. You never know.
Yeah. Well, home is always home. It's never going to go anywhere, right?
Yeah. So yeah, especially my parents keep asking me, okay, Marco, when you're coming back, when you're going to open a restaurant, this and that. So, but no, at the moment, I'm super happy. So.
And have your parents visited you at Helene de Rose?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, already a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah, and they love it, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, they really love it, yeah. Of course, like especially with my parents now, like we do always some comparison, like of the product, like that coming from home and the product like, you find the restaurant and so on, for sure. But after, you know, I think especially for me was very important, and I'm super duper happy like to come from like a small village countryside and so on, because you know, seeing like my grandparents, you know, like to pick up the olives, all the effort they do, like also like to produce cheese, for example. All these, you know, like from 10 liters of milk, you can make only 1 kilo of cheese and so on. Like, also, like, see the difference, like, from the cheese produced when, like, the cows are, like, fed in the mountain with the fresh grass from, like, the cheese produced in winter time. And all these kind of things, for sure, I learned them, like, thanks, like, to where I'm from, to my grandparents and so on. If I was born probably like in London or in Milan or in Rome, all these kind of things, I wouldn't like give like a big importance. So like for me, it was very, very important actually, and for sure I can say as well like whenever I do something, also like a new dish or like I cut a piece of cheese, I give also more importance like to the food, to the product. So for sure. You know, so.
Right. And so I know that you still work very long hours, but do you get the opportunity to go to other restaurants and
no, of course. Yeah.
You do?
No, of course. No, I try, of course, like on my days off, like to always to some like a different restaurant, especially fine dining. And
where is your favorite? Where do you like to go?
But normally, I try to go to the fine dining restaurants.
Uh-huh.
Because unfortunately, like in London, like to go to a casual restaurant, every time I end up that I'm not happy. So yeah, I prefer to cook a nice meal at home. You know, like I can have, I would say better food. Also, like I enjoy cooking at home as well. So I don't know. And otherwise, like as a fine dining restaurant, I really love. I've been recently like the reopening of the Ledbury, I really like it. I like, Core. I like all the fine dining in London, to be honest. Like, I don't have any.
Yeah. So, you know your good places. I think those places are amazing. We went to Core and we absolutely loved it. And even over the lockdown period, we got Claire's Core at home boxes, which were also just beautiful.
Yeah.
really, really good produce, and just stunning, stunning food.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like they're a great restaurant, and yeah, I love them.
Yeah. So, what do you make at home? What is it? Easy cooking? Is it pasta?
Super easy, super easy. Because of course, you know, like I'm not gonna cook like for 5 hours at home. So of course, I'm Italian. So you know, after I'm Italian, so I like, of course, like to make pasta, risotto, this kind of thing, pizza for sure. But after as well, like, you know, like something roast in the oven, very simple things, so nothing, you know, nothing crazy.
And I know you used to have a family tradition of barbecuing foods. Yeah. Do you get the opportunity to do that at home? I mean, obviously our weather is never great, but we've just had a fantastic week. So did you get the chance?
Not at the moment, actually, because I just changed like a flat. I just got like a new flat in Wembley.
Okay.
And on my new flat is not allowed actually to use barbecue, so I cannot cook on the barbecue at the moment. No.
So when you're choosing your new flat, yeah. I'm sure the kitchen is the first thing that you look at.
How
did you fit in your own kitchen, or was it already made?
No, it was already made, but after, you know, like it's a brand new flat. So, you know, like there's an induction. So I'm very picky on the cleaning organization. So yeah. I check that everything is spotless. So induction.
Yeah.
And after, you know, like the basic things. But after it's only myself and my girlfriend. So, you know, for two people, it's fine. And after, of course, I managed to do some dinner with friends sometimes. So,
right. Yeah. Which is a good brand of induction? Which one do you have at your place?
So by Toma, I'm using Siemens.
Okay.
After in the kitchen, professional kitchen is different. Like here in our kitchen, we have all induction. We use in Menu System, which is like a brand from Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
But, after that, there are many different kind of brands and so on. So.
Okay.
I don't want to do any like comparison or. Yeah.
Well, I always wonder, what does, like, you know, a chef like yourself, what kind of, you know, what do they use at home, and are they happy with it? You know, it's quite interesting because we got the Gaggenau induction, and we have the extractor fan that comes from the side. It's not from above, and it doesn't really work very well. We're not really that happy with it. But in terms of the induction system itself, it's really nice. Like it's beautiful.
Yeah, after it's faster, easy to clean, and you know, for sure. Like I prefer induction. After, of course, like you know, whenever you talk about barbecue and everything, for sure, like you know, you cannot do that on the induction. So you need a barbecue.
Yeah,
it's the case that we have in the kitchen, because we always use like some charcoal and the wood and so on, so to give like a nice flavor to fish or meat. So
yeah,
I think in a professional kitchen you need a barbecue.
100%.
After, of course, it depends which style of cuisine you do, but you know.
What are your favorite ingredients to cook with? So if you could have three ingredients every time you make something, what are your three favorites?
Oh, it's a tough question, this one, because I'm very fortunate that I love all the food. So I love fish, I love meat, I love vegetable. So to be honest, I really like onion. I like onion like with the protein. I like onion in the pasta and the rice. I like onion everywhere. So for sure, like onion is one of them. As a still like a basic ingredient, I prefer olive oil than butter. Because I'm coming from a place where I produce olive oil, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in terms of cooking, I would say like you know, maybe I prefer like fish than meat, actually.
Oh,
so,
really?
To have like a nice turbot, a nice jandoori. Yeah, why not? On the barbecue, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Good protein.
Yeah, also like my father, like he's always been passionate more like about fish. I prefer like fish than meat, actually. So maybe I got like this thing from him, actually.
Yeah, I got to say I like both. I just couldn't live without either.
No, after that, depends, you know, like I like both as well, but. depend on occasion. So it's a very tough question, a difficult question.
It is tough. It is tough to choose three ingredients. Yeah, it's not easy.
No, but I love all the food. So
yeah. And what about your girlfriend? Does she cook?
Yes, yeah, she cook actually. So she's basically she coming from the Canary Islands, and I think she the origin of her family is from Venezuela. So she's very good to cook. You know arepas?
No.
It's a kind of basically you made them with the corn flour. I would say like it's a kind of taco.
Okay.
Kind
okay.
of taco, and then inside you put like a kind of slow cooked meat, normally with beans or with avocado, cheese. And right. This kind of taco actually you can deep fry or like cook them in the oven. You make okay. a kind of sandwich, and like to eat warm is amazing. So she's I mean she's an expert on this actually. And, yeah, but yeah. Now I'm after you know at home normally generally I cook, so I prefer to cook actually. So
okay, well it sounds perfect though. You're both sounds like you're both yeah. amazing chefs.
Yeah.
And
after that, she's a restaurant manager, so like normally she work on the front of house. So I let her deal with the front of house stuff. So
okay, so you met at the hotel.
I met her at the hotel, yes, but she's not working at the hotel.
Okay, yeah. She's not working there anymore.
Yeah, no, she never worked here actually.
Okay,
I met her in the corner bar. So yeah. Yeah, to throw
oh,
a friend.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So in your break time, you head to the bar and.
Yeah, it was actually my day off. I met like a friend on the corner bar, and this friend said, "Okay, do you mind if a friend of mine like is joining?" So okay, no problem. And after from that time, you know, like we met each other, and then.
Nice. Yeah. That's really nice, and it's actually really yeah. nice to know that on your day off, you still go to the corner. How fabulous is that?
I know, you know, after we are super lucky at the corner to have the best bar in the world. So, you know, I mean,
it's a great bar. Yeah, it's a great bar.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, sometimes I like to go actually to have like a nice martini from Agostino. You know, like it's an amazing place where to be. Also, even if you work inside, you know, like sometimes super happy like to come here and then spend time. I never came to eat actually in the Lenderos restaurant. Even if it's 8 years and working here, because of course, you know, like I produce like the food in the kitchen, I taste the food in the kitchen. So, I don't feel like I would like to be the guest, like to come
really?
As a guest. Yeah, because, you know, after, you know, you have all the colleagues around and everything. So I feel a bit like a kind of embarrassed, you know, like, but you never came actually to eat with us, right?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have. I think it's been. It was before. Was it before COVID or just? I think.
Was it before 2019 or?
It was in.
Because of 2019, we did like actually a full like a full refurbishment of the restaurant. So,
yeah.
Like we have a brand new kitchen, brand new like dining room and so on. So.
Yeah, it was just before your refurb.
Okay. So you need to come back then.
I do need to come back. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll let you know when I come.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I'm going to wait for you.
Due for a visit. We like Jean-Georges as well. So we go to Jean-Georges.
Yeah, it's a beautiful restaurant as well.
Yeah, that is really, really lovely. We like going there. It's just more, it's casual, a little bit more easy. I think Hélène de Rose is very...
Yeah.
You know, you think of special occasion, you want to go to Hélène de Rose.
No, of course. No, it's a different style of cuisine as well.
Yeah. So, Marco, tell me something about yourself I couldn't possibly know, like a secret.
A secret? Oh, la la. Of course, out of work, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywhere, anything you want.
Okay. I collect knives, but not kitchen knives.
Oh,
so
wow.
Basically, yeah, in Italy, like I have about 250 knives. So this kind of passion like start with my father again, and every time I travel like abroad, every time I go like you know for a holiday, even like a working trip around the world, I try to find like a handmade knife. So I like collect knives actually. So yeah,
that is
so
awesome.
At home I have like some different knives, you know, like from I remember like I bought a knife like a few years ago in Madagascar, for example, from a little farmer, which had like this kind of I don't know how to call it, a kind of cleaver or something, to use them like to cut like the coconut from the trees, for example.
Right.
Or yeah, I mean, it's a little passion that I have. I like to collect handmade knives, so yeah.
Yeah, and what do you do with them?
I keep them at home, like a kind of in a kind of how do you say, like a window shop, not like a kind
So
of
you
how do you say,
display
like
them
a wood.
nicely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and after all of them, there's a number, and yeah, and
That's really nice.
just collect them. So yeah, these are little things
Yeah.
from my father actually.
Yeah, of course,
So.
because he was a doctor and he would probably have loads of interesting scalpels and knives
Yeah.
himself.
Yeah, after anyway, like, from when I was a kid, actually, I remember like used to take me to a small knife producer in the center of Italy. We used to go on holiday like to the seaside, and there was like this kind of fisherman that was like a main m making like these handmade knives, which used to use them like to for fishing actually. So I remember like my father like he bought a small knife, me, which of course I was not keeping it because I was a little kid. So, but it was buy for me, and after it was putting them on the side. For myself and my brothers as well, and
Right.
as a collection, not to play with because it was quite dangerous otherwise. And then, from there after, like every time I was going back on holiday there, we were going to buy a new knife and then keep it on the side. And then, and now at home I have like all this collection. So,
Yeah.
and
Pretty cool. And how many do you have?
about 250, 250. Yeah,
Wow, that's a
yeah,
huge amount.
yeah, yeah,
And you're
yeah.
still going.
I for sure. No, I like after it's very nice, like all different material, different handle made with the horn or wood, different kind of metal, is all different shapes, yeah, different use, like so I have some sword as well at home, so yeah.
Amazing.
Anyway, these are little things out of chef life. It's still connected to chef life actually, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really, really nice to know. That's a
Yeah.
very personal thing about you. So thank you for
And as well,
sharing.
like no worries. Another things I love actually is cycling. So yeah.
Okay.
As
And
a, as
do
a, as a,
you like go and do you ever go and do like
no,
challenges or
to be honest,
anything?
as I used to be like a chef for like the national Italian team. So from there I got also the passion like to for cycling. So
Right.
whenever I have some spare time, like on my days off, I go out cycling. Yeah.
Around London.
Yeah. All out of London, like in the parks and so yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, I love it.
amazing. That's super
Yeah.
cool. Yeah, it's good to like have something like that. You work off all the
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
that you eat.
Yeah.
Right, well, Marco,
Yeah.
thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
No, thank you so much for your time, and it was amazing like to have you, and yeah, and
I'm
talk to you
glad
as
that we
well. So.
finally did it.
Yeah, finally. Amazing.
And if you
Okay.
guys enjoyed today's interview, please rate, review, and subscribe. And you can find Marco on Instagram at Marco Zambese 88. So MarcoZampese 88. And I'm at Shalina.Tobin.